Welcome to the Shift Gold Friday Gold Wrap, your weekly overview of precious metals and market updates. I'm your host, JD Bauman, and I'm here with my brother, Joel. Thanks for tuning in. Joel, great to see you. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, JD. And yes, good Friday. He has risen.
He's risen indeed. How has this week been? Gold is at a new all-time high. Has the work been busy for you? What's it been like in the office this week?
Busy work week, a lot of buy and sell orders, very, very productive week, actually. But we'll get into it here.
Yeah, happy to. So as we mentioned, gold is at a new all-time high. It's trading at $2,233 an ounce. This is up about 3.5% since the close last week. Silver also is up. It's at $24.97, up about 1% since this time last week. The dollar index is about the same at 104.62, and the VIX is down to 13.01. So gold is just trending higher, on, especially since last week's news from the Fed that they continue to plan 3 interest rate cuts in 2024. And the data that's come out in the last couple of days since then has not moved this momentum. So we had some jobs numbers that were released earlier in the week. Those were about as expected. Quarter two GDP numbers were revised upwards modestly. Consumer confidence was lower than expected. Consumers are still gloomy about the economy, especially on the ongoing effects of inflation. But all in all, we are in a new territory here, and I'd love to hear from you. What have you been seeing on the technical side, and what are you looking out for?
Gold's just been extremely robust. This is the quiet but sure rally where we've talked about it a number of times. This rally has legs. It's unloved. It's not monitored. It's not documented. Peter beautifully put, you know, you could watch CNBC and nobody's talking about gold. Nobody's talking about gold being at its all-time highs. I think that's going to continue to be the case. And we're fine with that as just natural contrarians here. These are the type of rallies that will go on for quite some time before people, the general populace, wakes up to it. In general, when you get gold or you have something at its all-time highs, there's no resistance. So it is blue skies. Like, gold can just keep quietly but surely floating upwards. And then if and when we get pauses or any kind of pullback of any kind, on the physical end, our clients are smart. They know this. It's not just spot, but spot plus the premium over spot. So that total number, that net price, will actually go up even if spot just hovers or comes down a little bit, because on the next even little bit of a pullback, we're going to have buyers in droves coming in. We've got lots of clients who shouldn't be doing this, but some of them are waiting and they're ready to, they got their finger on the trigger on an order. That pushes the premiums up. And we wrote an article on this a couple of weeks ago, how U.S. mint sales are still kind of slow. So there's a tidal wave of premium hikes that are around the corner, which are going to cause physical prices to go up, whether or not spot just keeps going up week after week. All that to say is this is the bull rally that we've been talking about. It's the one we said once we get that breakout, you know, out of January, February trading range, we said that this is going to be a multi-year leg. This isn't going to be something that, hey, it's gonna top off right at the high and then we just hover indefinitely. This one's gonna go on for a while. And silver, on the other hand, that's the real steel. That's the one that is still half of its 2011 highs, half of its 1980 highs, and that's where you can still, you know, that train certainly hasn't left the station yet.
Joel, did you see Peter on the Anthony Scaramucci show this week?
I did not. I watched Peter on a different documentary this week. What did you see on Anthony's show?
It was a great episode, and we have a write-up of it on our blog that listeners can go check out. You touched on a few things. One thing that's familiar news but never less shocking is the national debt nearing $35 trillion. I think what's shocking about this is not just how high the debt is, but it's also that interest payments on our debt are now above our national debt expenditure. So our outflows to debt payments every year exceed everything we spend for military contractors and all of our military as a whole, which is just shocking. Ugh. It's also awful how politicians are not going to do anything about this, which Peter really drilled into. And yeah, it doesn't leave me feeling hopeful about the situation.
That's at some point, it's going to come all the way down to the servicing of the debt rather than the debt itself. At least that's what the modern monetary theorists will say. But
that is where we are, right? So we had a blog post about this a few weeks ago that looked into the practicalities of what it would mean for the U.S. to actually pay off its debt. And the piece showed that it's almost impossible. We really are entering a new phase where we're just talking about paying off the servicing. And maybe that's what politicians know and are thinking. Yeah, we actually don't have to reduce our debt. We just have to work within the bounds of what debt servicing we can pay off. If that's true, then, you know, we're up to see $50 trillion or $70 trillion or much more debt in the coming few years.
It's going to come because it's the only way in a deficit spending nation. I mean, that's our MO, and policymakers are only looking to get reelected and then serve their term and move on. There's no long-term thinking anymore here in the U.S. And if anyone comes out and does the right thing or even talks about doing the right thing, it's quote unelectable. They won't get any screen time. The media will edge them out. They'll get just a marginal, you know, the last minute mark on a debate. It's just really poor. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of hope here. Any other interesting announcements or news? Have you been following Peter at all? Any tweets that have come out while he was down in Mexico right now?
There was some about the DOJ's lawsuit against Apple. So I don't know if you know this, but the Department of Justice is waging an antitrust lawsuit against Apple. The New York Times headline of this is hilarious. Quote, U.S. sues Apple, accusing it of maintaining an iPhone monopoly. This is like U.S. suing Xerox for monopoly on Xerox machines, or
right, Band-Aids on Band-Aids, like Kleenex on Kleenex. It's just like that company, they're so proficient, they actually create an excellent product, and then they're accused of monopolizing said product, when that's like the whole point of a competitive advantage and building a moat and bringing value to customers. It's being punished by the government, not encouraged, and we're really in clown world when that's happening.
I did want to briefly mention this headline we had in a blog about the dollar being down 20% since 2020 and how Biden is blaming corporate greed. And well, I was taken aback by that headline number. We hear constantly of inflation, the month-to-month data, the year-to-year data being above target, oftentimes well above target. But hearing this headline, the dollar losing a fifth of its value in just 4 years, really blew me back. And this is by the most conservative estimates. So assuming CPI is correct and isn't lowballing the real extent, the dollar has lost a fifth of its value. So this is most devastating for savers, for those on a fixed income, for people who are in the highest income brackets. Shocking numbers here.
Yeah. Peter's take on that was, he's mentioned it about a month ago, which is the perfect take on it. The Biden administration should be thanking, you know, the very proponents, the people he's pointing his finger at, the free market and the businesses that are working so hard, doing everything they can to get that competitive edge, to bring more value to the consumer. They're always trying to cut costs because they're trying to be able to meet all these government regulations, all this, you know, being an employer.
You're talking about the corporations here that are innovating. And
yeah, innovation. It's just bringing value to market and then having to, you know, accommodate and meet all the compliance that's put on them. You know, they hire the lawyers, they hire compliance teams. They have to do all these things while providing great products at a low price. The more we remove competition out of the space, the higher prices would be, and it would really show the emperor without his clothes. We'd really see all the horrible negative effects of government, but it's so tampered down. It's so masked because of how great, you know, the remnant of capitalism that we do have in this country keeps prices at bay, and it just hasn't been this free-for-all, you know, Venezuela, you know, just this blowout price inflation. Going on this rant actually kind of brings me to a documentary I was watching in lieu of Peter not having a podcast, doing this on the morning of Friday because the markets are closed this week. But in lieu of Peter's podcast, I did listen to a recommended documentary that a client brought up. He said to we have some really intelligent clients, JD.
Was that the Illusion of Democracy?
Illusion of Democracy, Who Really Controls Our Lives, which is something we might link on in the description here. It's worth a watch. Peter was featured on it almost half a dozen times. I think Peter was actually the most well-spoken pundit and guest on the documentary, and I think the people who produced the documentary thought so too, because they used him quite a bit throughout the whole sequence of events, even though not everything was on finance. So it was featuring a lot of the revolving door and special interest groups, and how almost all laws that are passed are under the guise of really serving the public, when it's really just the policymakers who are giving the attaboy and tipping the hat to the special interests who funded their campaigns, and just how deep and how corrupt it goes. It was done in a kind of an entertaining, lighthearted way, so it won't get you too down and too depressed this weekend if you do take me up on that and listen to it. But some really amazing points in there in general.
Fascinating. Yeah, I'll have to check it out. I'll probably cut this out. But by the way, I had a conversation with a lobbyist in the DC area here recently, and it just opened my eyes to how easy it is to do legal bribes to get specific policies through. And you basically just have lunch meetings with politicians or key influencers, and it's not as straightforward as them demanding how much you must pay for them to vote a certain way on a certain issue. But usually it's something like, oh, by the way, we need this much money for this purpose or this reason, we're doing a fundraiser, in the same conversation that they're talking about whatever issue.
Right. It's just and it's in the same breath. So by proxy, like, it's not ever explicitly said it's a bribe, but
yeah, these are 15-minute meetings, and they're talking about their fundraisers. I mean, it's legal bribing.
Yeah, that was the documentary went into. Just, it's so lucrative to be a lobbyist that if you're a politician that's worth his salt in terms of his efficiency and his ability to negotiate, but you don't have the integrity, it pays spades to hop between Washington, you know, go being a politician to a lobbyist and then back to a politician, and then you get picked up by like a pharmaceutical company. It's just the payouts, like the highest, like, on record salaries outside of chief executive positions are found directly linked to this, you know, specifically the revolving door. And
Joel, any news in the coming week that you're looking out for? Any headlines that could affect gold prices?
The biggest announcement for next week will be non-farm payroll on Friday. We'll see what that public data or the government data says about jobs numbers versus the private surveys, the household surveys, because there's two different stories being painted right now. And with the number of bankruptcies that are increasing right now, we didn't really touch on that in a while, but our argument here is the economy is not well and it's sick, and unemployment is going to be going up, not down, unfortunately. Do you want to close this out for the week, JD?
Yeah, we'll close here with a quote of the week from the book of Proverbs. This is chapter 11, verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Great. Well, have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll see you next week.